Hey, everybody, we're back at the Sports Medicine broadcast of the Sports Medicine Update. I am Dr. Josh Yellen, University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. Across from me is Brandon Spain. Brandon just graduated from our Master of Athletic Training Program at the University of Houston and is currently looking for employment. So anybody out there, please let Brandon know some gainful employment. We are speaking to
Dr. Paul Shoup.
Yep. And Dr. Shoup is an orthopedic surgeon.
I'm an orthopedic surgeon with UT Physicians at the Iron Bowl Sugar Land.
So if you're in Sugar Land, you work with Dr. Bajani. Yeah, Ray Hall is our medical director for our program. So I'm sure that the two of you guys together are having a good time. So Dr. Shoup, you talked to the group today for those that weren't attending. We were live streaming at some point. We're not live streaming anymore, so we're just doing audio now. Tell us, for those that are listening, tell everybody about your presentation. It was really kind of about upper extremity orthopedics.
Correct. So my title of my presentation was Fractures from Injury to Return to Play. Talked a lot about injuries. Our most common injuries that we see in sports really are fractures of the hand, wrist, and briefly spoke about that.
Okay. And tell us, for everybody that's listening, tell us you are an orthopedic surgeon, and tell us about your training and your fellowship and what area do you specialize in.
So I was trained residency in the Navy. I spent a good portion in San Diego, 4 years.
Coronado.
Spent a little bit of time on Coronado. Balboa Park was where the hospice was.
I know it well.
And I spent 4 years as a general orthopedic surgeon following that, two years in Japan, in Jackson. Subsequently, following that, did a fellowship here at UT and with Dr.
Great.
Walt Lowe.
Great.
In sports medicine. So I've been practicing post-fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
Really in sports medicine. I do a lot of general, a lot of fractures, a lot of team things.
One of our strategic partners for our athletic training program is UT Physicians, and Dr. Lowe has definitely been an integral part of that. So for all those that are listening, can you kind of sum up, say, in 10 minutes or less, right? Because your presentation was phenomenal. 10 minutes or less, what are some takeaway points that we need to know as athletic trainers? And then what I want you to talk about is what are some takeaway points that, you know, parents need?
So really the takeaway point, one, listen to your athlete. Two, when you suspect an injury or you see swelling, you see, my role really as an orthopedic surgeon is to listen to what you're telling me, give recommendations. All injuries, so get an x-ray. If it crosses your mind, get an x-ray. Fractures are only missed really when we don't get x-ray. Other injuries.
So what are the, walk us through the algorithm of when do you get an x-ray, when do you not want it?
So if there's obvious deformity, open, and there's something called the Ottawa rule of both knee and injury. If you have direct tenderness bone in your, or there's crunching or crepitus, we want to get an x-ray. When we talk about ankle injury, you've probably done the same thing, and I don't think I've ever got an x-ray for the bone. Sure, it hurts over the soft tissue. If it's soft tissue discomfort, likely don't need. Acutely, if you have deformity or pain only process, if it's soft tissue and it's been going on for several weeks, sending.
Okay, that's great information. Brandon, can you explain for everybody that's listening the Ottawa ankle rules, please?
The Ottawa ankle rules, if there's tenderness, obvious deformity over the base of the, also if there's
medium.
Sorry.
How to do, Dr. Shoup?
Good, and some of it also has to do with age, but our athletes here aren't. And 59 right. Rule
and
out.
So
the athletic trainers or your coaches.
Thanks. Trying to
not
so
you.
Yeah, I'm close to it. So tell us some more about you were talking about some of the fractures, the bracing and the casting, right? So when do we use what braces? When do we use what cast and why? I think there's some confusion about that when people say, you know, why did we get a short arm cast versus a long arm cast or a short leg cast versus a long leg?
So short arm versus long arm cast really be fractured. Anything of the fingers, the metacarpals, up to the distal radius can probably be appropriately treated. And historically, a scaphoid fracture is treated in cast. But as you look through the literature and more recent data, there's really no difference a long arm cast and a short arm cast for a scaphoid fracture after 3 to 6 weeks. So we tend not to torture some of those injuries because the outcome. Once we start moving up the forearm to maybe just a single bone or both bones, or if you have a distal radius that also involves the ulnar styloid, then you want to immobilize past the elbow because that has to, as far as for long versus short leg casts. Ankle fractures are almost always put in short splint or short leg. If we have a torsional or a spiral fracture of distal tibia, that will be immobilized above the, in a long leg cast and bearing because we've got a basically neutralized one.
And of course, we know the healing process of bones, almost the body physiologically, it's almost very predictable, right? We're going in 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 week process.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, I generally say between 4 and 6 weeks. After about 3 weeks, it is so sticky that our decision to operate 99.4th. Otherwise, you get in or we've
and
got
what
in
what
there.
Are some of those criteria? So, I mean, obviously, if it's there's a fractured dislocation, if you've compromised movement, if you've compromised neurovascular structure. So going through your decision making as an orthopedic surgeon, and Brandon's your athletic trainer, and you all are having a conversation, what's your decision about, hey, Brandon says, hey, doc, listen, this is what I got. And you're saying, you know, I think he needs to go to an operation. This is why.
So anything that involves the articular surface, so an intra-articular fracture that is displaced, we have a lower threshold to take to the operator. If it involves a growth plate that's significantly displaced, induce it timely manner or after 1 or 2 attempts, those are treated operatively. Of course, if there's an open injury, we're going to take that just out and we're there a lot. Both bone forearm fractures, I call the fracture of necessity. And that's really because you're going to restore the bow to the radius so that you maintain the function of the arm. We talk about the lower extremity. If you have a fracture that involves both the medial malleol and the lateral malleol, it's always operate unstable. So anything that's really cool. I talked about the Maisonneuve fracture. They look pretty minor. Mm-hmm. You may just have no fracture at all. Fibula. We tend not to fix that fibula, but we do like to put screw suture in between two bones. They don't do so length alignment.
It's because of that constant movement of the syndesmotic. Brandon, what questions do you have for Dr. Shu?
Well, just going off, in your opinion, what would...
So I honestly don't think the screws are the best option. Okay. I think we have these suture button constructs that we use now. I won't use any brand name here, but they involve a metal button, high strength suture and a button on the other side. What we like about those, they're very low profile. They can bear weight on them. They're not going to break and they don't need a suture button struct. Use those for maintain rotation long enough so that the osmosis, and then you don't have to. The majority of the time when I put screws in between, you talk to the athlete, you talk to their parents, they want those screws out because screws inside there, even if it doesn't make a difference.
And then as far as between the screw and those stitches?
So it's going to be probably a minimum. The reason being is I restrict their weight bearing for the first 6 weeks, and we slowly start getting back in. If we have two screws, they're going to be taken at 12-week heel. I don't want them walking off for them just because there's more motion, so it doesn't heal as quickly. And if the screws break too early, sometimes you have to go. So it's general time frame.
So now let's fast forward, right? Brandon is going to take over the rehabilitation for one of your patients. What are some key factors that you want young professionals like Brandon to know about your expectation in rehabilitating some of your operations?
So once we've finished immobilization, so for my ankle fracture, I won't send a lot of my patients to therapy until cast or out of it because I just think they can get some benefit out of you talking to them, but at that point, I can't do it. So I like to get them in to initiate motion, functional things that are get them back to their spine. I first like restoration, and I feel once they have almost near motion, we can more safely start. Once they're strong, is sports specific. It's really an process. Some motor through it, mm-hmm. and some after 6 month athlete.
Yeah. Well, if Dr. Shoup, if any of our listeners have any questions for you, how could they get in touch with you?
So they can get in touch with me by contacting our office, okay. Or I can give you my...
Do you have an email you can
send? Yeah, I'll give you my email address. Yeah, do you want me to say it over?
It's up to you, sir.
Yeah. So my direct email address at work, paul.g.shoup, shuth.tmc.
It's a mouth. Yeah, we interact quite a bit with Cynthia Plitt.
Perfect.
Yeah, she coordinates all of our... So as Brandon just graduated, but we have current second years that are rotating through Crumby and Shaw and Beaver and Greaser. So they'll be, last year we used Keplinger and Shawnee, Shaw and all those other people. So happy to have you. I know that you're brand new. Will you have any interactions with us at UH?
Is that one? So I help cover the basketball team. So
great.
I'm there.
So you're working right side by side with John Houston?
I do.
He's so important, they named an entire city and university after him. Yeah, John's a great guy. He's one of our preceptors and teaches two orthopedic classes for me.
Yeah, so I'm at UH. I help with all the great. I'm at all their home basketball. Wherever good they need me, we plug in.
Yeah, good guy to know. Well, we're going to sign off with Dr. Shoup and Brandon Spain. Doc, before you go, I noticed that your undergraduate is from UNLV.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Southern California. That's how I know San Diego so well. And then did you go to the Naval Academy after that?
I actually went to George Washington
okay.
University and paid
the U.S. Navy did.
U.S. Navy on a scholarship. So after that, I owed 4 years for them to pay that off. I ended up doing residency with them. So that's how I
just that. So for some of those that are interested in pursuit, first of all, thank you very much for your service. For those that are pursuing possibly a career in the military, either as an athletic trainer or something along those lines, right? When I was coming out of graduate school, the United States Navy, they had recruited me and I thought it was a great idea, but this was in 94 this was in 2004 rather. And, my wife was pregnant with our second child and said, you're probably going overseas. So we're not going. So talk about that. You went to med school at George Washington or George Mason? You
said? George Washington.
George Washington. And, after that you owed the U.S. Navy 4 years. And so you get commissioned as an officer, as a physician. You did your residency with the U.S. Navy, Naval Academy.
So not with the Naval Academy, but really at Wounded Knee Hospital.
Yeah.
So as a medical student, I was commissioned as an ensign, so an O-1. So the entire time, medical, books, tuition. And so I came out of school. My colleague said $50,000.
You were making money.
I had virtually zero. Coming out, I did my training with them. And so instead of getting paid as a EGY-1 intern, 30 plus thousand paid as a lieutenant, as soon as you graduate.
Because now you're an officer?
Correct, which is significantly higher with more benefit. It's all a wash once you finish residency. However, it's a pretty good way to go if those are the options. Between my internship and starting residency, I was a flight surgeon for 3 years, so I actually got to COLA, learned to fly, did all the water and survived, so great opportunity.
As part of my job, I work with the Astronaut Strength Conditioning Rehabilitation Program at NASA, and we interact with quite a few pilots. Those Navy and Marine fighter pilots, they are something else. I don't have any other words. All right, well, we're going to sign off. Thank you very much for your time for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I am Dr. Josh Yellen, and this is Brandon Spain. Dr. Shoup, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.